On Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is, who is Jesus? As we celebrate Christmas, I believe it is incumbent upon us, especially we as believers, to have a deeper understanding, biblical understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. I believe we have Brother Harper on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you, Brother Phelps, for listening, taking my call. I'd just like to just inject this in the conversation. I believe we've been taught, it said, even before the beginning of the world, God knew all about what was going to happen and transpire, and he made preparations to take care of what he had prepared. And when Jesus came on the scene as a babe in a manger, I've been taught this all through my life, and I'm like you, just a little under 100 years old.
I got it.
The moment we take the first breath, we begin to die. And that is why Jesus came into the world, was to die. I believe, in my opinion, we need to dim the lights on the Christmas tree and illuminate the cross. I know that whenever Jesus came, he came to fulfill God's will by sacrifice that God provided, the cross of his life. And we sometimes, you know, when the devil took Jesus up on the mount, you referred to in a couple of times before that he tempted him with everything there was. You take him up and he showed him all the allurement of the world. And if he'd fall down and worship him, he'd give him that. Jesus refused to do that, but man has rejected. We put more emphasis on the illumination and the hoopla of this time of year. And you asked a while ago the question, why is it that the church is failed? Because we have embraced the things of the world more than we have the things that Jesus came into the world, and the purpose of his life and death was to save mankind.
Brother, you've got that on target. Jesus came into the world, as John said in John 1:29, to seek and to save. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Luke 19:10 says he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and we need to focus on that. That's the whole point of the broadcast as we celebrate Christmas, is for our listeners to understand our focus ought not to be on the commercialization. Now, we've got a pretty large family. We enjoy having family time, getting together and singing the Christmas carols, reading the scripture about the birth of Jesus, and giving and receiving gifts. But that ought not to be the focus. The focus needs to be on who is Jesus Christ. And that's the focus of the broadcast as we talk about who is Jesus. And you're talking about Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and the scripture says, and he hungered. But you look at Mark's gospel, the first chapter and the 12th verse, it says the Holy Spirit drave, that's the King James text, Holy Spirit drave him into the wilderness. So why was he in the wilderness? Was it so that he could yield to sin? No. The Bible says Jesus knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and 1 Peter 2:22 says he did no sin, and in the John 3:5 and John 14:30 says he had no sin. So Jesus had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. He could not yield to the temptation of Satan because of why? Because he is God come in the flesh. And so I am so thankful that we serve a sinless Savior. I'm so thankful that we serve the God-man, the 100% God and 100% man, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we celebrate Christmas, I believe that, as you said, we're looking at his birth, but we look beyond the birth. We see his birth. We see his life. We see his ministry. We see his death, burial, and resurrection, and soon coming again. And the focus is on, why did he come? To save that which is lost. So, yeah, you're on target with that, brother. Thank you so much for your call.
Looking up. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas. I believe we have another caller on the line. Angela, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood?
Yes.
Good morning. This is Angela. How are you doing?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I am doing good. I just wanted to say, the reason I think, and I hope I got the right question you were asking, I thought you did ask a gentleman why nobody in the world really understands who Jesus is, but this is what I'm going to say. I think people don't get in that Bible enough, not just read it, but study it. It's alive, and every time you read it, you can get something different from it. I just think that book is alive. I know it's alive. And it is just, that's how I know. When I was young, I used to, all the way up until almost 17, I used to pick up the Bible periodically. And I didn't understand it. I throw it down. And I remember, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I had went to a Catholic church because I am Italian when I was young. Did not understand anything. I asked one of the pastors, I said, or the priest, I said, can you help me understand this? And he just put his hand on my head and said, someday, little girl, you'll understand it. Well, that's all I got with him. So anyway, one day I talked to this girl that knew a little bit about it, and she said, oh, no. She mentioned how it was split in three, the Trinity. She sat down with me for over an hour. I went into my room. I got on my knees. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me understand it because I never knew that. And I picked up the Bible, and it was like, and I know this sounds cliche, but it was like I was seeing for the first time. I understood. I was crying on that cement floor because for the first time I understood. So I think we have to, before we go to a church, we have to make sure it's a Bible-believing church, that they're not just singing and tickling your ear, but they believe in the words, and you got to check the words with that guy, that pastor saying to the Bible. And if they don't match up, you run. And that's what I think. I think we have to pray, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, and we have to get on our knees and read that Bible, get into it, and ask God to reveal himself. And I think God is our Father, our Savior, our friend, our Lord, and everything up above and everything. He's just everything. He's everything to me. And Amen. Without him, we'd be dead.
So you're exactly right. In fact, Angela, when we look at what the Apostle Paul referred to the divinity of the Lord Jesus when he called him the great God and our Savior in Titus 2:13, and that's one of the things I believe that's missing in Christendom today, is not recognizing that Jesus Christ is God. He's not just Savior, he is God, and we need to make him Lord in our lives. But thank you so much for your call. May you and your family have a blessed, merry Christmas, and thank you so much for your call. Dr. Phelps, take just a moment before we take our next caller and respond, because our caller made a poignant point that there's a need to get into the Scripture, study the Scripture, let the Holy Spirit of God reveal what the Scripture says. Relate to that and comment on that for a moment before we take our next caller.
Our caller was exactly right. I agree wholeheartedly. I think if we're to know the truth about who Jesus is, then we must read the Scripture.
That's right.
Because we find the truth in God's Word. We call it the Scriptures. And we think of God's Word as being the book of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the ways that God makes Himself known to us. When we allow the Scriptures to teach us, then we know the truth. And so I wholeheartedly agree with that. And one of the things that I've practiced in my life is whenever I sit down to read the Scriptures, I ask God to teach me.
Yes.
I ask Him to open my heart so that I can receive the Scriptures. And that really works.
It does, absolutely.
When we do so, then God is able and God can teach us. Many people are not teachable because they don't open their minds and hearts to what God says.
You can't pick it up and read it like a comic book. You've got to read it from the standpoint that it is God revealing Himself to man.
Yes.
And the only way God can reveal Himself to us is through His Word. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over to question or comment, please.
Good morning, afternoon, gentlemen. I am so grateful for this conversation. And holy Jesus, He is God, and God's name is Jesus. And I don't understand how, or what helped me is that you can't know anybody without knowing their name. Like, I can't know Dr. Youngblood or call Dr. Youngblood without knowing Dr. Youngblood's name. And if you call God, well, Allah is a God, Buddha is a God. You know, it's not a name, it's a title. And so I was so confused when I first surrendered to Christ, because I was raised in a religion that was confusing. And even with all the Scriptures that you gentlemen have so wisely spoke about, He will bring it to us on a personal, personal level, because He wants us to know Him on that personal level. And I said, God, I'm confused. Tell me the truth about You, just like You said. And He said, daughter, do you really think I would send my son to do my dirty work? And I said, oh, no, you would never do that. You're the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. You are strength and love, and why would you make your son go through? He is he is the Son in the flesh, born to fulfill the Scriptures. But that just really made it truthful to me that God is Jesus in the flesh. So He'll do it for us on the personal when we allow Him to.
Lisa, a good text for you, and perhaps you're familiar with that too. I like to talk about defending the faith. It is having a biblical text that we can defend against the untruth and or the false teachings, and to validate the teachings of the Word of God. Some will say, as I've said so many times, that Jesus Christ laid aside His deity. And they go back to the Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 text. But the Scripture says He took upon Himself the form of man. That's an addition, not a deletion. So here is the picture. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. God took upon His deity the shroud, the outward shell, the manifestation of the flesh. And many people look at that as being a diminishing, not an addition. So Jesus Christ is God, come into flesh, shed His rich red royal blood, that we might have life and have it more abundantly if we say yes to Him. And people say, well, how do you know He's God? Well, for example, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9 talks about the one that was, and is to come, the Almighty. The Scripture itself. I tell people Scripture interprets Scripture. It's all right to read commentaries. It's all right to read good books by solid theologians. But we need to go back to the book of books, the Bible.
Amen.
And see what the Bible
Amen.
Says and let the Bible speak to us. But Lisa, thank Amen. You so much for your call. May you and your and family have a merry, merry Christmas. And thank you for
too,
calling.
Sir.
Thank you. Yes. God bless you.
And then remember the I Am as well. You know,
he
is the I Am, and Jesus would not say that if he wasn't God, because he knows the rules.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, when you go back to the Scripture, Jesus is called God, he is called the Son of God, he is called the Lord, he is called the Holy One, he is called the First and the Last, the Alpha and the Omega, he is called the Almighty. So we look at just the, you touched on in your start of your conversation, about the names. When you look at the Scripture of the names that was given to Jesus, all of them identify Jesus Christ as God, as deity.
Amen. And Isaiah 9:6, the number one Christmas verse that people use. Hello, you shall be the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God, the Heavenly Father. It is all right there when we want to see. So thank
Absolutely.
You, gentlemen.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Dr.
Amen.
Phipps, what are your thoughts to follow up on that?
I just say praise the Lord for such a testimony that we've just heard.
Amen.
And this person has testified, has given us testimony about who Jesus is. And you know, you really find that in the Scriptures. There are many of the disciples who did make that confession, such as Peter. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And others, in other times in the Scriptures, we find that he is spoken of in that way. But that's what we read about in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. So when we read in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," John's talking about Jesus there. But in verse 3 he says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And that talks about his authority. Mm-hmm. He's the Creator.
That's right.
And throughout the verses that we read, from there to verse 13, we're told that he's the life, the source of life.
That's right.
He's the light. The sun gives light. And so God is light. Therefore, we know that he is God. Jesus brings life to those who were dead spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in my life.
Amen.
When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ after hearing the gospel, it was as if someone turned the light on inside. And I'm sure that can be explained
Amen.
Spiritually.
That's right.
Jesus gives light to those who are in spiritual darkness. He could say, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then we find there in verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And this is his humility. He came to live in a human body. He is the Lord from heaven, but he came to take upon him the form of man. God was made flesh. Therefore, Jesus is the God-man. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." That's a verse in the Scriptures that we might say is a condensed version of a total gospel story.
That's right, absolutely.
Of the first advent of Christ. He came into this world, take upon him the form of man.
Mm-hmm.
And the book of Hebrews, by the way, in chapter 2, also speaks to that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, here's what the writer said. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Right.
The reason for his coming in the flesh was to go to the cross, mm-hmm. to be our sin bearer, to bear our sins in his own body. And in order to do that, he had to have a human body.
That's right.
Jesus came into the world. He was made flesh. He became a man, and he manifested the glory of God, the person of God. He manifested the love of God mm-hmm. to the world. Jesus is God himself in human form.
Absolutely. And you, by saying that, I think about the text when you say that in the Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 23. And she, that's speaking to Mary, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Then that 23rd verse in Matthew 1, behold, a virgin will be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. That Emmanuel, God with us. And then you find in, what is Colossians 2:9, that in Jesus you find the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus, let's do this. This will be confusing perhaps to some. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't serve three gods. We get to heaven, there won't be three thrones. There'll be one. It is the triunity, the best term, is the triunity of the Godhead. And in that Colossians 2:9, it says, in him, speaking of Jesus, is the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, wrapped into one is Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. Now, talk about that a minute, Dr. Phelps.
Well, one of the great things that I've learned from the scriptures, reading in Luke chapter 1, the angel was explaining to Mary about the birth of Christ.
Right.
And she didn't know how that would happen, how that would take place,
mm-hmm.
because she wasn't married, was not involved with the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what the angel said to her, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then in verse 35, Mary said something about not knowing exactly how that would take place. How shall this be? The angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. That's one of the persons in the Godhead.
In the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Who is the highest?
God.
That's the Most High God.
That's right.
That would be the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to say, therefore also that holy thing, or the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God.
Yes.
You have all of the Godhead right there.
Right
there. God the Father,
triunity.
God the Son, God the Holy Spirit involved
right.
in the birth of Christ.
Right, triunity of the Godhead right there in that chapter 1, verse 35 of Luke's Gospel, when it's giving the birth announcement, the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I find it fascinating, Dr. Phelps, that God the Father says regarding Jesus, this is God's talking about who Jesus is. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Hebrews 1:8. What is God saying about who Jesus is?
He's saying that he is God.
That's
he
right.
is equal in deity.
Equal in deity.
Yes. And by the way, there are no levels of rank or honor in the Godhead.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equal.
Co-equal.
Their power and wisdom and so forth.
Co-equal. In fact, in the study of Christology, you'll find all of the attributes of God are the same attributes of the Holy Spirit, are the same attributes of God the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the reason, the better term, rather than saying the Trinity, it's the triunity of the Godhead that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about Christmas, the celebration of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the celebration of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. He had no sin, he did no sin, and could do no sin because he is God. In fact, Jesus came to show. Dr. Phelps, if you have it there, John chapter 1, verse 18. Read that for us, and let's wrap up some thoughts on that. John chapter 1, verse 18.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I believe that verse speaks to us of the oneness of the Father and Son. And when you read through the scriptures, you'll find that there is this sense of realizing that each indwell the other.
Yes.
They're indwelling one another. When he says, which is in the bosom of the Father, that box talks about the innermost person of God. You can't separate the Godhead. They're one.
That's right.
When Jesus was talking with the unbelieving Pharisees, Jesus said to them, I and my Father are one.
That's right.
That's the oneness of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And the wonderful thing that I see also in that, just in that single verse, but throughout the scripture, it is true, that Jesus Christ came to reveal God to man. Man would not know God or about God were it not for the Son, Jesus Christ. And that word revealed there, we get our word exegete, that is to explain. So Jesus came, ladies and gentlemen, into this world to reveal, explain God to man and to redeem man back to God. Dr. Phelps, got about a minute and a half. Wrap us up with the thoughts about Christmas and wishing our listening audience Merry Christmas today.
In John chapter 1, again, I would like to point out that John the Baptist was speaking of the Word, or Jesus, and the Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that comes before, after me, rather, he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. I understand from reading the book of Luke and other portions of Scripture that Jesus and John the Baptist are cousins. And Jesus is trying to show us, John's trying to show us here in this passage, that even though John was born about 6 months before Jesus, Jesus was existing before John was ever born.
Right, because I used the term back and back some more, was Jesus Christ. He pre-existed.
Yes.
He was not, he came into the world in Bethlehem, but he pre-existed before the foundation of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we wish you a Merry Christmas. We pray that the broadcast today has been edifying, uplifting, encouraging, and educational for you. God bless you. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7, The Truth.